Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tarsus Products Limited Q3 FY25 earnings call hosted by Ambit Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as of the date of this call. These statements do not guarantee the future performance of the company, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samarth Agrawal from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I welcome you all to Tarsus Products 3Q FY25 earnings conference call. From the management today, we have Mr. Aryan Selvin, Promoter and Whole-Time Director, and Mr. Santosh Agarwal, the CFO. Now, without further ado, I would now request Aryan to start with his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thanks, and over to you, Aryan.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to welcome you to Tarsus Products Limited earnings conference call for the third quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2024. Joining me on today's call are Mr. Santosh Agarwal, CFO for Tarsus, along with SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our quarterly investor presentation to the stock exchanges and the company's website, and I hope everyone had the chance to review it. We have achieved robust financial performance, surpassing industry growth. This success is driven by our strong brand equity, extensive distribution network, and unwavering commitment to quality. For the third quarter, our standalone revenues reached 76.2 crores compared to 61.8 crores in the third quarter last year, resulting in a growth of 23.3% year-over-year, fueled by strong demand in both the domestic and international markets and across key product categories. Additionally, for the 9 months ended 31st December 2024, our total revenue amounted to 221 crores, reflecting a 16% year-over-year increase, showcasing our ongoing efforts to strengthen our market position and leadership. Our performance over the quarters demonstrates a steady recovery in demand, enhancing our confidence in sustained growth for the years ahead. The labware industry continues to present significant opportunities, with demand remaining robust due to increasing research activities in the life science, biotechnology, and healthcare. Furthermore, the ongoing expansion in testing and research applications is driving the need for high-quality lab consumables. Additionally, the focused emphasis on molecular biology and genetic research is fueling long-term demand for labware products. Tarsus is well-positioned to capitalize on this opportunity with its diverse product range and trusted brand across markets. The global plastic labware industry is valued at approximately 50,000 crores, and we currently represent only a small portion of this market. This presents a significant opportunity for us to expand our reach and tap into unexplored markets, ultimately increasing our revenue and profitability. We are actively seeking ways to enhance our international presence, aiming to boost our overall overseas revenue. To support this, we have been actively participating in various international trade fairs to better understand the need of potential customers and target new regions. These events provide us with a valuable platform to showcase the range, durability, variety, and exceptional quality of our products to prospective clients. Additionally, we are strengthening our distribution network in international markets to solidify our foothold in these regions. With the addition of the new cell culture and bioprocess product portfolio, we are well-positioned to serve a broader audience while maintaining our cost competitiveness. We remain optimistic about the positive engagement and new inquiries generated through these exhibitions. Although the order conversion may take time, these interactions have produced valuable leads that we believe will contribute to our long-term business growth. During the third quarter, our exports have also shown impressive growth of 50.4% year-on-year at a standalone level. This reflects positive momentum, indicative of industry revival, and reinforces our confidence in our potential for future growth on account of Tarson's extensive product profile and strong brand. Our Pachla facility is progressing as planned, and we have commenced commercial production for certain products, with full ramp-up of the facility anticipated in the first half of the next fiscal year. This expansion enables us to meet rising demand while enhancing cost efficiencies. We remain focused on automation and process optimization to improve product scalability and uphold our high quality standards. As we ramp up the Pachla plant, we also expect a quicker absorption of the fixed costs, resulting in improved operating margins moving forward. The new facility will strengthen our capacity to engage in large RFQs, broadening our customer base in both the domestic and overseas markets. Looking ahead, we remain committed to our strategy of expanding our footprint in the domestic market by acquiring new clients, launching new products, and increasing revenue share among existing customers, exploring opportunities to strengthen our presence in the overseas market through branded and ODM sales, enhancing profitability by increasing automation and improving operational efficiencies. With this, I now request Santosh for his comments on the financial highlights.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our Q3 and 9-month FY25 earnings calls. On the quarterly basis, the standalone revenue from operation for Q3 FY25 reached 76.2 crore, reflecting a 23.3% increase year-on-year compared to 61.8 crore in Q3 FY24. We are pleased to announce that this marks the highest ever revenue recorded in quarter 3 in the history of Tarsons. Our consolidated revenue from operation for Q3 FY25 was 95.7 crore rupees, with a revenue from Norway for Q3 FY25 amounting to 19.5 crore rupees. On a consolidated basis, the revenue from operation was 42.6 crore, while domestic revenue was 53 crore. Our standalone EBITDA for Q3 FY25 was 27.9 crore compared to 22.9 crore in Q3 FY24. This is reflecting a growth of 21.9% year-on-year. The standalone EBITDA margin for Q3 FY25 was 36.7%, down from 37%. In Q3 FY24, a decrease of 30 basis points. Our consolidated EBITDA for Q3 FY25 was 29.6 crore with EBITDA margin of 31%. The margin at a console level are lower due to Nagbe being a trading entity with a lower margin profile. The standalone profit after tax for Q3 FY25 was 7.6 crore with a PAT margin of 10%, while consolidated profit after tax for Q3 FY25 was 5.3 crore with a PAT margin of 5.5%. The decline in PAT margin for Q3 FY25 was primarily due to a higher depreciation charge resulting from capitalization of asset at a Pachla plant. In Q3 FY25, total depreciation for Pachla was 5.5 crore against which revenue will begin to materialize in the following quarter. Standalone cash PAT for Q3 FY25 was 23.2 crore compared to 20.1 crore in Q3 FY24. This is marking a growth of 15.4% year-on-year. When we talk about the 9-month basis result, standalone revenue from operation for 9-month FY25 reached to 221.1 crore, reflecting a 16% year-on-year compared to 190.7 crore in 9-month FY24. This marks the highest 9-month revenue ever achieved by Tarsons. Our consolidated revenue from operation for 9-month FY25 amounted to 279.7 crore. Revenue from Norway for 9-month FY25 was 58.5 crore, consolidated from 1st January 2024. For 9 months FY25, on a consolidated basis, revenue from overseas was 131.5 crore, while domestic revenue stood at 148.2 crore. Our standalone adjusted EBITDA for 9 months FY25 was 77.7 crore compared to 72.4 crore in 9 months FY24. The standalone adjusted EBITDA margin for 9 months FY25 was 35.2%. Standalone PAT for 9 months FY25 was 27 crore with a PAT margin of 12.2%, while consolidated PAT for 9 months FY25 was 19.6 crore with a PAT margin of 7%. The standalone PAT margin for Q3 FY25 declined primarily due to higher depreciation charge resulting from capitalization of asset at Panchala plant. Total standalone depreciation for 9 months FY25 was 36.5 crore, out of which depreciation for Panchala accounted for 8.32 crore, against which revenue are expected to materialize in subsequent quarter. As Aryan already mentioned, the Panchala plant begin to ramp up. We anticipate a quicker absorption of this cost, leading to improved operating margin moving forward. Standalone cash PAT for 9 months FY25 was 63.5 crore compared to 60.5 crore as we reported in 9 months FY24, marking a growth of 4.9% year-on-year. The consolidated net debt as on 31st December stands at 277.9 crore. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Jatin Chawla from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, you said Panchala depreciation for this quarter was about 5.5 crores. Now, as you scale up production, where do you see this depreciation number stabilizing on a quarterly basis once your entire capex at that plant is done?
I think our depreciation number will stabilize by FY26 because there's some more machinery are going to be capitalized and some more machinery are already in a CVP. So we think that our depreciation will be at its peak by FY26.
And what would be that peak number roughly be?
We don't have the exact number on the back of our mind, but we don't think that, you know, our depreciation number will go beyond 64 crores.
So total, you are saying across all plants, the max depreciation you expect is about 60 crores. But you are already at a quarterly run rate of 15 crores and you are saying it will go up. Then how come 60 crores will be the max?
Because we are following the written down value method. And, you know, as we move forward, the existing machinery will generate, lower depreciation. So we think that, you know, on a yearly basis, our depreciation will be in the range of 60 to 65 crores, not more than that.
Understood. When I look at your PAT margin, ignoring the COVID phase, if you look at the pre-COVID phase, you were at about 20%. Right now, you are at about 10%. So in the next 2-3 years, as the Panchala facility ramps up, do you see a path back to that 20% PAT margin in the standalone entity?
Yes, we think so. The reason is that, you know, currently our PAT margin is affected by two components. One is the interest component and second one is the depreciation component. So we think that from FY27, you know, the interest component and the depreciation component will go down further. And, you know, we can see our PAT margin in the range of, you know, 18 to 20% again from FY27 to FY28.
So if you look at our numbers, if you look at our historical numbers, pre-COVID, the 2017, 18, 19 numbers was when the depreciation levels were lower, so was the interest levels. But 13, 14, 15 was the reverse. There was the PAT margins were lower because the interest and the depreciation levels were also high. So I think fundamentally we should expect EBITDA to be at around 40% levels. And as we can tone down the interest levels and ensure depreciation levels, you know, we don't have a lot of new expansion, it should, you know, we can look at about 40% EBITDA levels on a 40% and above EBITDA levels on a, you know, on an annual basis once Pashamylaram is stabilized.
Got it. And you spoke about the fact that with the Pashamylaram plant, there will be some enhanced cost efficiencies. So what sort of, you know, incremental cost efficiencies do you expect from this plant versus your existing plants?
What we expect is basically the plants here are more automated. So I think by the end of it, when we run these plants to full efficiency, I think the number of people to revenue should be lower as compared to our current plants. And we are also building our own radiation plants. So this facility would completely have 100% radiated products as compared to other facilities, which have some radiated and some non-radiated products. So with radiation coming in-house, I think we at that scale, we should be able to have some cost benefits.
Got it. Understood. I'll go back to the queue. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockvine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, now it's been around 1 year since you acquired Nervi, but in the last four quarters, we have seen flattish kind of revenue. It's at around 19 crores per quarter. So, you know, what is the reason why Nervi is not, you know, growing? That's my first question.
So the reason is Nervi has remained relatively flat, which is pretty strong performance as compared to the labware market at this point in Europe, because Nervi's revenues are not really anywhere outside Europe. It's mainly in Germany and some key countries of the European Union. So five or six major countries of EU. And if you look at comparative sales data of smaller, middle-sized, larger companies in Europe, things have still been on a declining and an improving declining trend, but a declining trend. So FY 22 was a big decline, 23 was a decline, but better than 22, and 24 was a decline as well, considering they do financial years January to December. And Nervi has done pretty well on a relative basis at this point of time. And I believe that with our new facility, when we inject newer products into Nervi's revenue should start showing good growth in the second half of this year and moving forward beyond that.
Got it, sir. So has your standalone exports business got some benefits out of this acquisition, or as of now, there are no benefits that you can attribute to Nervi?
At this point, no, because we are looking to first stabilize what we are trying to build internally in the company. Both these facilities, the other one is primarily just a radiation plant and storage. But both these facilities are quite large facilities in terms of CapEx, infrastructure spend, and size for a company of our size. So at this point, we'd like to spend the next few months completely trying to stabilize and streamline what we've built here, and then use this infrastructure to be able to build Nervi.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, can you give us some color on, you know, what has driven exports numbers for you in the last two quarters? Are these export sales on account of the business you're getting from large brands like Avitor and some other brand you mentioned in your presentation, or these are more directed towards, let's say, small distributors who are, let's say, white labeling your product and selling it in US and Europe?
It's a mix. It's a mix of everything, actually. It's a mix of, you know, larger distributors, smaller distributors. It's better realizations because of the falling rupee. It's also better shipping conditions. You know, I've mentioned this in our calls earlier that looking at international overseas revenue, looking at overseas revenue annually is a better indicator than quarterly, because a lot of things are out of our control. You know, we could have a bad quarter, we could have a good quarter, and that could, you know, not correlate to the kind of business what we are doing with our partners or customers at that point of time.
Got it, sir. Got it. And so you mentioned that, you know, your operating margins are set to increase going forward. But I would imagine since such a large facility has been commissioned, won't your operating expense grow for two, three more quarters and then maybe, you know, margin expansion can start reflecting in your numbers?
It's quite possible because absolutely. I think we've spent 9 months spending a lot of money in our current facility, in our current new facilities, which have generated no revenue. But in the last 2-3 months, we've started generating some small, very, very small, minimal revenues, which are more trial runs and some commercial production and orders. But I think we would need to, because Pashla facility and the other facility already have certain fixed costs without being able to give back too much in return in terms of revenue. So it's got fixed costs, it's got depreciation, so it's got costs, you know. The depreciation in Pashla has come before the revenue, and that's pretty much how it always has been with most of our newer projects. So it could be, I cannot pinpoint, you know, on a particular timeline, but definitely I think 2 or 3 quarters till there's a complete ramp up, and then slowly the margins should just keep looking upwards quarter by quarter.
So I was talking about more about EBITDA margins, not the PAT margins. So at EBITDA, you won't have any impact of depreciation.
At operating margins as well, because today we are paying a lot of cost on a monthly basis in our new facilities without generating revenue. So that's impacting the EBITDA or the operating margin.
Got it, sir. Got it. So you've commissioned some of the cell culture lines, I believe.
We've not commissioned any of the cell culture lines, but we've commissioned some of the bottles and some of the bioprocess bottle lines. Cell culture is getting commissioned as we speak, but not commercially available for now.
Got it. So broadly, you know, no trials have been done for these cell culture products as of now. So first the facility will commission, you will give the product for trials and then maybe commercial.
Absolutely.
So it will take a while, for this facility to start ramping up.
See, there are different kinds of customers. Some customers are the ones who would start buying immediately, and some customers would need some level of persuasion, some level of documentation, and some level of product validation, and, you know, they need to prove that the product is good to use. So it will be a mix of, short-term, medium-term, and long-term customers.
Got it, sir. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Koteshwaran R. from Trustline Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, when will we start shipment to Norway from Indian manufacturing plant?
Once we can stabilize this facility, because this facility would have a lot to offer to our overseas entity.
Okay. So when you start reporting, how much proportion of Norway's revenue will be sourced from Indian plants?
We'll get into a detailed analysis at that point of time. Broadly, when we bought the company, we thought that about 2/3 of their revenue could be sourced from us. But based on shipping conditions, market conditions, economy conditions, tariffs, and a lot of other things, we will take a call closer to time. But at this point of time, I don't see anything changing from the time when we have purchased it.
Okay. So my last question. By when can we expect full revenue potential from the expanded capacity?
About 3 to 4 years from complete commissioning, which I've mentioned earlier as well. 100% revenue potential of our CapEx.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on the good result. Sir, I just wanted to know how much revenue are we expecting from Pashla plant in FY26?
I cannot at this point of time put a number because it's premature. We haven't commercialized the entire plant and just a few product lines in there. But as I said, 3 to 4 years So we expect a slow start at about 15% or, you know, the potential, then maybe 15%, and then year three could be a large jump. And by 4 years, I think we should be exactly where, you know, we should achieve complete revenue potential for the CapEx we put in.
Okay, sir. And my next question is, I wanted to understand why was the EBITDA margin lower in this quarter?
So the EBITDA margin was lower in this quarter, primarily because of increased costs where, you know, which the revenue could not justify. Whatever growth what we have achieved in standalone revenue has primarily 99% come from our existing plants. But whatever cost the company is bearing today is also bearing for this large plant, which has not really come into commercial production and commercial sale, which is a plant which is almost as big as our entire company put together. So it incurs a large amount of fixed monthly cost, and that has led to a slight decline in the standalone EBITDA margin level.
Okay, sir. Sir, I also wanted to know at what capacity utilization does the break-even of a new plant happen, like with the Panchla plant?
So since we don't make a single product in the plant, Panchla would probably be making few hundred SKUs, maybe 300 to 400 SKUs. I think we would be in a better position to answer when we are completely commercialized with all the planned CapEx. Since it's not one particular product line with one particular output every month, you know, the math is a little complicated with so many different 100 SKUs. What would be selling more than the others? So, you know, that would give us a better idea.
Can you give a rough range-bound estimate?
I think when we start full commercialization, the fixed costs would be very, very limited. It would be more variable costs, so I don't see beyond 1.5, you know, 6 quarters to 7 quarters, we should achieve, you know, there, you know, the cost should be completely aligned to the revenue because most of the people working in the plant would be directly aligned to the revenue achieved. There would be very little fixed cost. At this point of time, all the costs are fixed costs because there's no revenue. But once it starts, even at nascent stages, I don't see, you know, the cost structure should be completely aligned to the revenue in about a year, year and a half.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll take our next question from the line of Shubham Thorat from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
So, I just wanted to pick your thoughts on what products that Tarsus is adding on the cell culture and PCR portfolio. Just specify their mind, what kind of TAM.
Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yeah, just one minute. Hello, is it better now?
Yes, this is better.
Yeah. So I was asking, what products Tarsus is looking to add under cell culture and PCR portfolio, and what is the TAM that we are looking at in these products, and how much revenue share can company take from that total addressable market?
So we believe that we are looking to start with the basic requirements of cell culture, which are, you know, the lower hanging fruit. I think it's about, you know, it's cell culture vessels, which are used for different, you know, kinds of applications. We believe that the Indian TAM is approximately 400 odd crores. Global TAM should be closer to 6,000 to 7,000 crores. And our idea would be to take about 25-30% of this TAM over the next 3 to 4 years in India, and probably do the same internationally in terms of value, you know, similar to India, not 25-30% of 7,000 crores.
You are targeting 25-30% of Indian TAM, right?
Indian TAM, and try to replicate the same volume or the same business size overseas in respect to the Indian TAM, not 20. I'm just reclarifying, not 25-30% of 7,000 crores. Yeah.
Got it. And sir, what kind of CapEx that we have done in Panchla? I mean, the total CapEx that we have planned for Panchla, Amta, and Brownfield CapEx. If you can give those figures separately.
We already said that, you know, our total CapEx, running CapEx was about to be, you know, 650 crore rupees. Out of that, the Panchala CapEx was about to be, including land, building and everything, Panchala Amta CapEx was about to be, you know, 500 crore rupees.
Got it. And what kind of revenue potential is there from the CapEx?
I think Arya already replied to that that question. It depends on the, we are currently focusing on the commercial production of the plant, and then we will see what combination will arise, and then only we can say that this is the maximum revenue it can generate.
So please consider a capital of about 0.75 to 0.8 on fixed asset.
Of fixed asset.
Yeah.
And sir, I just wanted to know, just a basic question, what is the difference in company standalone and consolidated business from business point of view?
Can you repeat again, sir, please?
What is different in company standalone and console business?
Difference between the standalone and console business, right?
Right.
So in between standalone and console entity, we have one Singapore entity. That Singapore entity own the German entity, and that's how we consume.
So this is about Nerve.
Sir, your voice is not audible.
You are not audible.
Sir, so sir, is this about Nerve that you are talking about, Singapore entity?
Yes, Singapore entity. Yeah.
Acha. And sir, I mean, I just wanted to know what kind of demand drivers were there that drive the standalone numbers during this quarter. Because you mentioned that the European demand was not there with respect to Nerve.
So in terms of domestic demand, we got good demand across all the end customers. We got good demand from pharma, diagnostic, research, and then, you know, other IVF and other category also. So we identified that, you know, there is a good demand across the region.
And do you expect this demand to sustain?
We hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Ridhima Goel from Aquin B Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. As you guys have well explained about the reason for the fall in your EBITDA margin, I just wanted to know your fall in the gross margins on standalone level. So is it because of some price decline you have taken or the change in the product mix? And if there is a change in product mix, what kind of products have been sold more in this quarter which led to the decline in the margins?
So there is a change in product mix, but I think it's a combination of factors. Change in product mix, launching of new products. When you launch new products, you try and make it more lucrative for the customer to make the change to try your new products. And I think it's a recovery market. It's a recovery market where there is competitive cost pressures all across the industry, as the supply was very, very high over the last 2-3 years, and the demand wasn't there. The supply was way more than the demand. So it's a mix of all three factors. I don't think it's a very big change in the product mix, but for us to know, I don't have it at the back of my head. We sell 2,500 SKUs, but the margin mix between the consumables and reusables also vary quite a significant bit. So if we have 75% gross margin on reusables, that doesn't mean that all the 1,000 SKUs are at 75%. There could be a big variance in that 75% range, as an example.
And, you know, just to add one more comment, historically also, our gross margin was in the range of, 68% to 70% pre-COVID, I'm talking about. During the COVID time, we sold a lot of value-added products because of that, the gross margin, increased significantly. But, if you see our gross margin of September 2024, it was 71.38%. Now also it is at 73.04%. So we believe that, the gross margin will be in the range of, 70 to 72%, something like that.
Going forward. Okay. Secondly, have we taken any price fall just to push our products in the market, or if it was the pull, like the demand pull was happening, like it, the sale was majorly because of the more demand?
See, the thing is, we've not taken as such any price falls. The market is definitely competitive, and for newer products, newer geographies, we are always aggressive to get a foot in the door. So we will keep getting more and more aggressive with newer products as we need to fill up larger capacities in a new facility as well.
Understood. And what geographies have contributed to your, increase in your overseas revenue? So as you mentioned that Germany, there was no growth, or maybe you are not seeing much of the demand in the European region, right? So what all other geographies have contributed to the growth?
See, what I meant by that was that Nerve, which sells into a very, very small, for us, the overseas market is about 50, 60 odd countries. For Nerve, the business is spread across 3 to 4 countries. And Nerve did not have any new product launches. We have a lot of new product launches from our older facilities as well for where the CapEx went. So the business from Europe for us was much better on a standalone level as compared to Nerve, but most of our growth came from North America, Latin America, Middle East, Southeast Asia. Europe was also a contribution, but it was not the sole contribution. It was more or less an evened out growth from all over the world with more focus on the Americas and Southeast Asia.
And the one major difference between Tarsans and Nerve business is that Nerve is selling all the goods in its own brand name, but we are also selling the in the brand name of other suppliers, other customers, right? So we are getting a very good momentum in Europe and US kind of countries from a white label product, which is not the case with Nerve. So this is not an apple to apple comparison.
Will it be possible for you guys to share the mix between your ODM and the branded sales?
Currently, it is 60% white label and 40% ODM branded.
Okay, and just one last question.
That's overseas revenue only. That's not domestic revenue.
Yeah. Overseas. Just one last question. What would be the EBITDA margin for Nerve itself in this quarter?
The EBITDA margin for Nerve is about to be 9 to 10%.
Will it be possible for us to increase it from here on?
Absolutely. If the sales will increase further, they have a gross margin in the range of 45 to 55%. So there is always a possibility to increase the EBITDA margin.
Okay. Till what level? Like 14-15% or more than that?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's it from this.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Aditya from AK Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Aditya?
Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. I want to understand how much capex we have spent for Panchala and Amta. And Amta plant is only for backward integration, or will it contribute to revenue also?
For Panchala plant and Amta plant, we already said that we already incurred about to be in between 500 to 550 crore rupees of capex. So if you want to know the breakup in between Panchala and Amta, so I will say that 400 crore for Panchala and 150 crore rupees for Amta.
And will Amta plant will contribute to revenue?
It has infrastructure to contribute to revenue, but in our current capex plan, it will not be contributing to revenue because we'd only be running a radiation plant and our warehouse.
So it will help in only gross margin improvement, right? Then.
Yes.
And how much more capex is pending for this Panchala or Amta? Amta is totally done. This 150 crore.
So in terms of payment, about to 150 crore rupees payment is pending.
Payment is pending, but all the infrastructure, all the capex has been totally done now, Panchala and Amta.
The capex in terms of issuing the PO, almost everything is done. But in terms of delivery, some delivery is still pending.
So how much that is pending?
You mean to say delivery? Delivery is about to approximately 100 crore rupees.
Okay. The delivery is starting, and we are expecting total commercialization in H1 of next year, right? Totally, Panchala and Amta.
Absolutely. We think that, you know, by FY26, everything should be up and running.
In Amta, the warehouse would be operational to use in one quarter, in about 3 months from now, maybe around April, and the preceding months in May and June, the radiation plant would be ready.
Okay. And you are saying that, so because what I'm trying to understand is for last 3 years, we have been spending on this capacity. And from FY27 to 30, we are expecting that this capacity should be utilized fully, right? So by FY30, the company's revenues potential or the balance sheet potential should be somewhere we can expect 800 to 1,100 crores of revenue. So that is what we are aiming for this company.
Right. That's the aim.
So 1,000 crores by FY30, that is the internal target.
Not that. The current revenue levels, 10% more than that is the capability of the current setup, and whatever capex we put, about 400 odd crores, 400 to 450 crores, plus the current revenue, plus 10% more potential from the current revenue from the existing facilities.
And can we know that this is a maximum potential? This is not a guidance.
Yeah, okay. And how confident are you that Panchala capacity utilization, you'll be able to do it up? I mean, because if we are entering for
we've put in this kind of money into the company, and we've built two of the largest facilities for our company size with a lot of conviction. So I think time will say how good we can execute this and take this through. But as a company, we have a lot of conviction to, you know, make this bold capex move.
And next year margin, a consolidated margin I'm talking about. So there will be improvement from year on year, or there will be some kind of stabilization. Then we'll see an incremented margin.
Definitely, you know, the operating margin should remain in similar levels, but the PAT margins definitely cannot improve because the depreciation levels will go up, the interest levels will be there. So for PAT margin, I think there would be some time before we can stabilize it, but the operating margins, I think, you know, on a standalone level, we are currently in the region of around 36% odd. We have the capability of increasing 4 to 5% over the next two and a half years. That's the idea.
I think EBITDA margin is the right barometer going forward for next 2 years to understand how business is doing.
Right. So in next 2 to 3 years, can we expect the PAT margin should be around 15% or 12%?
See, the point is that currently the PAT margin is down because of depreciation, right? So going forward, as the revenue will increase and, you know, the interest cost and depreciation will go down, we are hopeful that the PAT margin should come to the same range in between 15 to 18%.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Jatin Chawla from RTL Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for allowing the follow-up. As I understood from the Panchala plant, you're broadly targeting 400 crores of revenues, out of which you said cell culture, you know, 400 crore TAM and 25% India market share, so 100 crore domestic and 100 crore exports. So out of that 400 crores broadly on cell culture, you're talking about 200 crores will be cell culture.
Right.
But you said this is only basic cell culture vessels. So on cell culture, right, just the basic products can give you this kind of revenue, or you will need to launch more advanced products going forward?
No, we'll have to launch more advanced products for further revenues beyond this, you know, because it's a part of the company cycle. If we'll have to have projects in hand beyond 2028 or 2029 calendar year, we'd have to start planning for 2030 and beyond if we want the company to continuously grow. Because beyond the point, if we don't launch new products, it becomes very difficult to maintain 16%, 17%, 18% year-on-year growth, you know, without having new launches.
But no. My question was, this 200 crores is possible only with the basic products as well, right?
It's possible. I think let's not use the term basic or advanced. It's possible whatever capex we are undertaking.
Understood. And you said you've launched some new products from your existing facility, the MOOCs. So what sort of new products have been launched?
We've done a lot of PCR products during COVID, which is a part of the 650 crore product line. We did a lot of deep well plates. We did screw cap tubes. We spent a lot of money expanding product lines which we already had, for which we were falling short in capacities where the demand was there. So overall, the scenario didn't, you know, that's the complication of having so many few thousand SKUs. You sometimes have to spend money when the other SKUs are not running, but certain SKUs are running very well and need more machines or more molds or more output.
Got it. Just one last question. On Panchla, what sort of fixed monthly costs are we incurring today? Broadly, my calculation suggests that as of now, the P&L is bearing a cost of about 5 crore on a quarterly basis. Is that rough calculation right, or are the numbers very different?
Our fixed cost in Panchla is not like that. It's much lower than that. My fixed cost is not more than 50 to 60 lakh rupees per month.
Right now, okay. So, okay, so that's the fixed cost, and then 5 crores extra depreciation. So broadly, on a quarterly basis, about 6.5 crores of cost is what right now the P&L is bearing because of Panchla without much revenue.
Six to seven crores a year. This is divided into people and overheads, energy, whatever facility requires.
So sorry, 6 to 7 crores a year or per quarter?
Yeah. Per year, 50 to 60 lakhs a month.
Got it. No, I was saying including depreciation.
So including depreciation, yes. Yeah.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockwine Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
So we have had 2-3 bad years for the industry globally. So how have you seen competition changing in these 2 years? Has the domestic competition reduced in the last 2 years?
So, see, there were the known players which were present pre-COVID are still there, and I don't think they will ever go anywhere because they are all strong companies with solid foundations and, you know, good product portfolio, good quality and so on. But I think the companies which mushroomed trying to, join the thing and provide opportunistic products because people needed those products and were buying anything and everything at any price, I think that we see fizzling out. But the major and minor companies which existed pre-COVID will continue to exist, you know, which were part of the industry for years and had not come in because, you know, to cash in on some kind of an opportunity.
Got it, sir. So out of your domestic competition, which all companies have, you know, significantly increased investments in the last 2-3 years, like what you have done, like you have more than doubled your gross block. Which other companies have been as aggressive as you?
I would know because we are the only listed company and all of you all get information because of these earnings calls. The rest of the companies don't have to say all this. They keep doing things behind.
Got it, sir. But you would know through your industry contact which all companies have expanded.
It's very difficult. We focus on our business and we focus on trying to build, our product line. Our capex or our strategy is not influenced by what most of our competition is doing. But we try and react to, competition in terms of price pressures or other things which come in the market. But it's very difficult to be able to start finding out what's happening in other people's offices or factories.
Got it, sir. And so what are the U.S. Tariffs for your product lines?
The U.S. tariffs currently for exporting our product is 5.3%.
Okay, got it. And what are the...
This was historical, so nothing has changed for now.
Got it. And what are the custom duties on these products if somebody wants to import in India?
Approximately 12 to 14%.
12 to 14%.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. So, Chinese imports as a percentage of India market are at what percentage?
It's insignificant. I don't even think out of 1200 crores, it would not be more than 20-30 crores.
you are including, you know, there will be some companies who would be, you know, importing from India, but, you know, selling it in India under their own brand. So you're including those revenues as well.
It's mainly that very few companies in the plastic labware space, because it's so commoditized, apart from the big 2-3 players, most of the companies try and import and sell on OEM or their own brand name, you know, because it's Chinese do not have that kind of reputation where a distributor can promote the brand.
Got it. So,
I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other participants waiting. Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Koteshwaran R from Trustline Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thanks once again for the opportunity. So, okay, how much margin are we expecting from the backward integration we are doing in Amta facility?
The reason we did the backward integration was because a significant portion of our revenue through our new CapEx was going to be sterilized, and in this part of the world where we are in Calcutta and the eastern side, there's only one sterilization plant, and it's quite an outdated sterilization plant. So we did the CapEx out of risk mitigation more than cost savings. However, doing the CapEx, we understand that there would be certain cost savings associated with it, but we would be in a better position once we start running the plant.
Got it. Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Raman KV from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So I just had a doubt. In the PPT, you mentioned that the Panchla plant is expected to fully ramp up by first half of next financial year. So can we expect that in the second half of FY25 to do half of the peak revenue? Peak revenue expected, which is like around 200 crores from Panchla.
No, it's not possible. It's not possible. We said that on commercialization, it would take 3 to 4 years to achieve peak revenue, not 6 months.
Okay. It will take, so can, basically we can do 100 crores, 100 to 150 crores in 26 from Panchla plant.
I will not comment on that, but I can tell you that the start will always be slow because these are new products. So you're introducing something to a customer, and the start will especially be slow in overseas markets as compared to India. But year two gets better than year one, year three will get very, very strong, because that would be the inflection point, is what I believe. And then beyond that would all be consolidation.
Okay. And sir, in the previous quarter's call, you mentioned that you will be setting up 7 to 8 cell culture production line by FY25 end. Can I know the progress of it? Like, will we set up 7 to 8 lines, and will it contribute in revenue in coming FY26?
See, the CapEx, what we have mentioned at this point of time in Panchla, in the next, by the first half of the coming fiscal year, we should completely be over with the CapEx, which is the planned CapEx, which we've been talking about at the range of 600 to 650 crores, which includes both the facilities. Then moving forward, whenever we see traction in whichever product lines, we might need capacity expansion, and we will do it as necessary.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Raman?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding this Norway margins. So we mentioned that it's around 10% currently, and it can go to 14-15%. So I'm trying to understand when we start manufacturing this at our Panchla facility. So will this 38-40% normalized margin add up to this 10-15%, or it would be lower on a consolidated basis when we do in-house manufacturing for these products?
See, as a consolidated entity, if we are the suppliers and Nirbhay is, making the margins, it would not be, correct to expect us to make 40-41% here and Nirbhay to make 14-15% there. The industry cannot bear 55% margins, but it would be lower, if we are manufacturing for Nirbhay, the product lines, so consolidatedly should be in the region of mid to late 40s, but they would buy a lot of products from other suppliers as well, and that would be standalone 13-14% margins. If we can double the revenue of Nirbhay, I think they'd be able to achieve 40-50% increase in their EBITDA levels from current levels.
And this is when we are considering 2/3 revenues to come from our facility and the
remaining from approximately 65-70%, and there are certain products we do not manufacture, certain products which they cannot buy from India, they have to buy locally, so we would be out of those products.
Okay, got it. If I can know, what is the margin difference between the export products that we sell and what would be the margin in the India branded business?
Don't disclose that, or we don't put that out, but it's very similar to each other.
Got it. Sir, just a few questions from my side. Sir, on the working capital, sir, I think with higher number of SKUs coming with the Panchala facility, sir, will our working capital cycle even deteriorate further, or can we expect to improve it or at least maintain it going forward?
It will be at a similar level. Currently, our working capital cycle is in the range of, 195 days. It includes debtors days of, about 80 days. That will remain the same. Inventory days is about to be, 135 days on sales. I think going forward, we are launching new products. So, our working capital cycle in terms of inventory will remain the same. We have vendor days of about to be 20-25 days because we need to pay upfront cash to, import the raw materials. So, that will also remain the same. So, we expect the similar kind of working capital cycles going forward.
Okay, got it. And sir, just a bookkeeping kind of question. Sir, in H1, our margin on the standalone business were very muted in like less than 30%. So why was that?
Which margin?
H1, the EBITDA margin, if I consider the operating margins in H1 of FY25, they were less than 30% for both the quarters. So why was that?
Because of one of item which we have already disclosed in our investor presentation.
Okay, sir. Can I know what was that one-off item?
One machine got damaged, and we have submitted an insurance claim for that, and we have created a provision for that.
Okay, got it. Sir, just a final question from my side. Sir, when we consider that existing players continue to exist in the market, as well as the smaller players which increase the competitive intensity have reduced, so how difficult is it for us to get into a new product line, let's say cell culture, or how easier it is for the competition to enter into the line where we are excelling? So I just wanted to understand the cycle of getting into a new product and protecting our turf on that product. So on that front.
It's like most of the other industries with a little bit of know-how involved as well, because building up a high quality product which is consistent and building trust among customers is time consuming. So I think it's a function of perseverance and time. That's why, there are few good companies in India and lots of good companies globally. So I think most of these companies have quality, consistency, and they've been around for a long period of time trying to deliver the same thing very, very consistently, and that's how you can build some sort of customer loyalty and trust.
So, is it easier for us to get into the although the timeline would be higher, but due to inconsistent quality by the foreign players, as you mentioned, that there are not so good companies out there. So will it be easier for over a 5-year period for us to gain a lot of market share or a decent market share in the global exports market?
Yeah, I think it's favorable. Being in India, manufacturing in India, I think it's a good time to be at this point of time producing such products in India. And the natural advantage of our country, along with, you know, having a strong foundation as a company for 40 years, building high quality products and having a good set of loyal customers, puts us in a good position to gain market share from the large international market over the next few years.
Okay, got it. And sir, for FY26, what kind of revenue growth as well as EBITDA margin on a consolidated basis can we expect?
No, we don't really give any kind of...
we don't give any kind of guidance so to the market, and we don't... we have our own target, but we don't disclose that.
Okay, sir, no problem. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for being with us today. I trust we have answered all your questions. We are dedicated to keeping the investment community updated with regular information on our developments. For any additional information or inquiries regarding Tarsans, please do not hesitate to contact us or our investor relation advisors, SGA. Once again, thank you for your time and support.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.